and welcome to Transparency Talk with Nakia Preval. I'm your host, Nakia. Thank you for tuning in. Now let's get transparent. This is episode number 4. I want to say that I received a few messages in regards to episode number 3. And I am definitely going to get into those comments today. I think it was a conversation that needed to be had. I think we kind of work on a caution of fear with the idea that losing equals failure. And the dynamics of making the changes and receiving the guidance to make the changes was most definitely conversations that we sometimes neglect because no one's being transparent with each other. And we lose the essence of what true friendships, what true relationships can actually become because we're essentially scared to have those conversations. So I'm glad for the messages that I received. Again, I do have a lot that I want to get into. So let's start with the sponsor for this episode. Is my favorite DJ, DJ Eskimo. He has a show that he streams on Monday from 9 to 11 a.m., which is, it's a great flow. It can start out from Eric Badu and end with Eric B. Rakim. So it's a great way to get your week started. You can find him on Instagram, DJ Eskimo Show. He's on Mixcloud. The website is mixcloud.com/live/DJ Eskimo Show. Make sure you check him out. Follow him on Instagram and subscribe on Mixcloud so you know when his next show will be. And with that being said, let's get transparent. I got to deliver my flowers first. And before I do, because the last flowers that I gave sent a whole lot of questions and comments. And I'm going to address it now because they were very interesting. I want to say this. I've known Tia for 20 years. Please do not ask me if he's single, if he has a girlfriend, and where is he located. I am not his PR person. And if you're listening to my podcast and that's all that you got out of it was Tia, you might want to re-listen to that episode. Even though I thought some of the comments were cute and funny, I just think that asking me about Tia and if he's single was not on my list of priorities to answer. So to the 4 young ladies that sent me that message asking me, was he single? I'm not going to answer that question. Because honestly, it held no relevance to this podcast and that episode. So let me deliver these flowers because I definitely want to get into today's topic. Today's flowers, I am actually excited about giving. And I think I give her flowers all the time. I'm giving my flowers to Monica. Monica is technically my aunt, but more of a girlfriend than I can say aunt. I don't know how our friendship evolved to how it is, but I'm thankful and grateful for the relationship that I have with her. It's not one of many questions. It's not one that I have to translate and figure out what's real and what's fake. And she gives guidance and she gives truth. And I'm attracted to truth tellers or truth teachers. And you can't find that nowadays with some people. So I value and appreciate the relationship that we have. Monica is one who is never going to water down what she has to say, but she knows how to say it in a way to make you feel comfortable, not feeling judged or making you feel as though your words or your thoughts don't matter. She's a person who will sacrifice for the good of others. She made a decision to leave her job and stay home with her twins and homeschool her kids. And some people might say, oh, that's not a sacrifice, but it is. She made a sacrifice for the good of her kids. She got her degree. She was working at a great job, great salary. And when it was time for her kids to go to school, the school district didn't meet her expectations for the greatness of her kids. And that's a sacrifice that you make to ensure your kids receive every opportunity they deserve. And her kids definitely received the greatest benefit of her sacrifice. They graduated from high school early. They are now freshmen at North Carolina A&T. And they are excelling because of the sacrifice that Monica did. And she didn't do it and complain. So there's going to be moments in certain friendships where you have to really look at that person and go, damn, this is who they are. She doesn't brag about the things that she has because she doesn't have to. And I celebrate her because I feel as though she deserves it. So, Monica, here's your flowers. I thank you for your friendship. I thank you for your transparency and your honesty, for your loyalty, for your guidance. I thank you for being able to celebrate me in greatness, but then being able to pray with me and for me when times are hard. And I don't take our relationship for granted. And I also won't allow anyone else to feel like they can take you for granted. There's things that will never be left unsaid between us because, granted, I call you every week, but that's not the point. But you allow me the ability to be vulnerable and transparent and honest, even when sometimes I'm not sure I'm ready to do that. So thank you, Monica, and enjoy your flowers. And now we are going to get transparent. Today's topic is changing the way people treat you. And this, I think, is one of the hardest things for people to do. And the reason why I say it is because the level of complaints that come along with certain conversations that I have with people and conversations that I've pretty much started in regards to how someone treats me. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is not the other person's fault. How they treat you is yours. And the reason why I say that is because you've allowed them to determine how they will treat you. You've given permission to those to disrespect you. You've given permission to people to say whatever it is that they want to say without consequence. You set the standard of how you are to be treated. And when they follow suit, you get upset. Which is interesting because this is what you started. I've been in situations where people have caused a scene and gotten loud, and these are my friends. And I am not going to do that. I'm not going to sit up here and argue with you, especially over something really small. So I'm going to let you speak. But when I speak, you're damn sure going to hear me. And when they do that, they have already received your permission to do it. Because when they did it the first time, you didn't check them on it. And they do it again. And then you just brush it off. You don't discuss it. There's no dialogue on how they made you feel. Because you're scared that if you do it, you're going to lose them. But losing them means what? That they're no longer going to disrespect you? That they're no longer going to appreciate you? That's a loss? But instead of you addressing the situation at hand, once the person calms down, they've moved on. But there you are, sitting there in all these emotions, and you don't say anything. You keep letting them do it and letting them, and then they do it in a way that they start using your words against you. The very things that you confide in them, they use it against you. Which, at this point, is your fault. Because as bad as they treat you, you still confide in them. You give them leverage to disrespect you. You give them permission to make you feel bad. But then you have to look at the source as to why you've allowed them to do that. Again, it has nothing to do with them. If you are insecure, if you're not one to really address your internal issues, you then give permission to play off your insecurities, to play off all the things that you kept in your emotional book bag to come to surface. They play on it. And you've given them permission because you play on it. When you speak to them, you speak to them about your negative experiences and how people in your past have treated you. When you think about it like this, I was in a relationship with someone, and I remember telling him that I was in a previous relationship, and he put his hands on me, right? And the guy was like, damn, I would never do that to you. That's not a man. Okay. And then we turn around and we get into an argument, and he puts his hands on me. Now, the only reason why he felt he can put his hands on me is because I told him about a previous relationship that I stayed in even after he put his hands on me. So I gave the new guy permission to do what the old guy did. You do not have to disclose everything that's happened to you in a new relationship. It's not warranted. And someone would say, well, I'm telling them so they would never do it again. Well, if you don't give them the idea of it, they won't. But when you plant the seed of saying, I was in a relationship and he used to call me a bitch every week. And then they go, well, how long were you in a relationship for? And you go, 10 years. You know what you've done? You've given him permission. Because if you took it for 10 years, you'll take it for another 10 years. You control the direction and the narrative of how people treat you. I don't deal with people coming at me in a way that I would not come at them. So if I'm not giving it to you, I'm damn sure not taking it from you. And if that means I have to remove myself from you, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to explain to you why I'm doing it. Why? Because I spoke to you about it before. I am not one to continue to repeat myself. And anyone that knows me knows. I'm one and done. I tell you how I feel, we'll address it, and I'm moving on. Because if I keep having this conversation, now I'm condoning your behavior and I'm correcting something that I corrected months ago. You have to be able to say within yourself, I have this standard of how people are going to treat me. You're not going to call me a bitch because that's not what I am. You're not going to put your hands on me because I'm not your punching bag. But when you start allowing people to digest your negativity and your past experience, and then they use it to their advantage. And then that just brings up an old wound. But the difference between, again, being broken and being bruised is because now we done peeled the scab off. Now you're bleeding. So do you want to keep pulling the scab off or do you want to finally heal? And it has absolutely nothing to do with anyone else but you. You have to figure out, why do I keep allowing these same people in my life? And I'm going to tell you why. You're attracting them to you. Your negative ways, your negative actions, your negative response to things attracts people to you. If your friend has a nasty ass attitude, you've attracted that friend to you. Because why? You have a nasty ass attitude. And no one's ever called you out on it. But then people think it's cute when you go off and, you know, you cursing and carrying on. It's so unattractive and very immature. And when I see it, I know it's not a place that I've created. You've been in this place for a long time and I've just entered into it. Now, whether I choose to stay, that's my decision. But when you're around someone who is constantly negative and constantly complaining, they don't speak anything positive, and you decide to be in that situation, you made a choice. And then you wonder why your interaction with everyone else mimics the negativity. You've attracted that to you. It's time to start being honest and transparent about the things that you do and say out your mouth and why you do it. I think sometimes people accept, oh, that's just how so-and-so is. But why is that acceptable? Oh, we all know how she is. She do it all the time. But why do we accept it? She'll calm down after, so it'll be all right. But it's not. You're not going to try to put me down to make you feel good. And when I walk away, I walk away. I don't accept apologies. That's one thing about me. I do not accept apologies. And the reason why is because I feel like that was your intention. You intended to hurt me and you did it. Why are you apologizing for something that you wanted to do? That's like when a guy cheats on you And then he apologizes and says, I'm sorry. Why are you sorry? Because you're not sorry because you cheated. You're sorry because I caught you. So why would I accept apology for something that you wanted to do anyway? And your intention was to do it. And that's not saying that people can't be forgiven. But don't tell me I'm sorry, but then you don't know why you're sorry. If you're telling me, well, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. Well, why did you hurt my feelings? You throw it back on them because their issue has nothing to do with you. But as much as you require it from another person, you first have to have it in you. It comes off very immature when you see a negative person and all they do is speak negative. It's a turnoff for me. And it makes you uncomfortable because you don't know if they really realize they're doing it. So to remove the negative, you have to start creating the positive. And by creating the positive, you have to now start taking those uncomfortable moments, removing the bricks of emotional baggage that you leave in that book bag, and start doing the work. If someone has deceived you or someone has done something that hurts you, address it. Address it in a manner that works for you. I don't believe in going back and having a whole dialogue with someone. Because if that's who they are, nothing you say is going to change. So what I used to do, and I still do it, I'll write it down and I'll read what I wrote and then I burn it. Because by burning it, I'm over it. It's about self-healing. You can't go to other people expecting them to heal things that happened to you when you were 7 years old. And you've carried all of that around all these years. Never addressing it, never understanding it, but it's still present in your life. Words carry weight. And when you give people permission to place a title on who you are, it can be one of two things. It can be a motivator, or it can actually tear you down. That's like when you look at people who just got out of jail and they refer to themselves as ex-convicts. And then they carry that title because they believe that's who they are. You being an ex-con is what you did. That's not who you are. We have to start changing our vocabulary of who we are. Because by us changing it, we're no longer giving people permission to change for you. We know who we are when we walk in the door. You're not an ex-con. So take away that title and replace it with the title that holds substance for you, not for anyone else. That's like if you go through life and you want approval from a parent, or so you do things according to their menu for you. You're not happy, but you're doing it because it makes the other person happy. Approval addiction. And you continue out through life doing it, and you get tired. Because this is, it's not like a natural movement for you. Your movement is totally different. Like if we're dancing, you dancing to one song, I'm dancing to another song. How does that work? changing how people treat you starts with you. I'm not going to let someone call me a bitch because I'm not a bitch. But then I'm not going to turn around and say, I'm that bitch when someone says something to me that, and I want to get back at them. I've taken a title that I say I'm not, and now I'm using it because it seems to fit the situation. So if other people hear you call you a bitch, why wouldn't you? Why can't they? You've given them permission to call you out your name. You've given permission to be disrespected because when it happened, you didn't address it. And you're thinking, well, if I don't say anything, we can just move on. But in reality, you're never going to move on because the residue of what they've done is still there. Again, why I don't accept apologies. Because even if we say we're moving past it, who are we moving past for? Me or them? We're giving them an exit strategy out of the situation instead of holding them accountable for the things that they say and do. I'm not scared to remove myself from somebody. Because even in my darkest time, I'm not alone. Even when situations don't seem like there's a light at the end of the tunnel, at least I know me removing the negative, I am now transitioning and preparing myself for the positive that I'm about to receive. I am not going to be your punching bag, your emotional punching bag, because words hurt. I don't care how old you are, words hurt. And then you take words that I say to you, or you take experiences that I've shared with you, and you throw it back in my face. What the hell is wrong with you? You're not my friend. So now you have to be careful of who you confide in. Because if I hang up with you and you call the next girl that I don't even chill with and tell her my business, I can't be mad at the other girl. I'm mad at you. You have to start trusting yourself and believing in yourself that whatever the situation is, you're going to get through it. But if you approach the situation with a negative mind, with negative results, what are you expecting to happen? And then you present it to everyone in a negative format, they can only take it negative. I think the scariest thing for me was when I got pregnant with my oldest son. And my son's father said to me, "You're not going to make it without me." And his words hurt because I did love him once upon a time. And he was speaking out of a place of anger because I didn't want to be with him anymore. So because I didn't want to be with him anymore, he wanted to start using his words as a weapon. And it was immature. My son will be 18 years old next month. So I made him out to be a liar. It's not what they call you, it's what you answer to. I have a friend of mine, I can't even say he's my friend, someone I knew from college. And his ammunition was always to find your weakness. And he played on your weakness. And that's when we were 17, 18 years old. He's a whole grown ass man and he still does it. But then says, "I'm not the same person that I was." No, you are. you're actually worse because you don't see anything wrong with the things that you do and say out your mouth. And then the one time that I hit him back with what he was given, he didn't like it. It was unpleasant. Then it's, oh, you're being rude. And no, I'm giving you back. And I'm a firm believer. I don't hit because I don't want to get hit back. So it's like, you have to start determining for yourself things that you will take and things that you won't. And if that means losing a relationship, losing a family member, there's some family members that I don't even rock with. Because I've already addressed it. I've already said what needs to be said, and you're still doing it. So either you have no value for me, or you just don't give a shit. Whatever the case may be, has nothing to do with me. It's on you now. But when I walk away from you, there's no coming back. And that's not me maybe it is me being selfish. It's me being selfish with my heart, with my feelings, and I'm protecting myself because you will not try to cut me down to make yourself look good. I am no longer going to dim my light for you to shine. And we find ourselves in situations where we constantly do it. And I don't know if we realize it or not. We have this one friend that thinks she looks better than us. We all know she don't. But the way that she carries herself, she thinks that she is. And we fall in line with her. But she is the ugliest person you ever want to see. And I'm not even talking about physical. Because she's not happy with herself. She walks around with a nasty ass attitude. And people think it's cute. Because in some way, society has allowed us to feel that disrespectful is a strength. How is that even acceptable? That you think, well, I went off or I tell my truth. The truth of the matter is you're miserable as hell. You're hurt. And you need to start doing the work to fix it. We hold ourselves to a different standard, and then we hold other people to a level that essentially does not equal who we are. So we dumb ourselves down to make somebody else comfortable. And then we get mad. Who are you mad at, though? You can't be mad at them because they're following your lead. You are the leading example of how people treat you. So if you want people to treat you a certain type of way, you have to show that. You're not going to continue down a path of destruction and think that it's going to be okay. And then you want to blame everyone else. You created this path. You created the direction. You fix it. There's going to be moments where we're going to look back on things and you're going to say, well, I should have done this or I should have said that. And that's fine. But you can't blame the other person for things that you didn't correct. You can't even be mad at them. They're following your lead. So when you want to get to the point of change, you make the changes. When you stop compromising who you are for others, that's when you know. Start creating a more positive dialogue and start removing the negative. But you need to start working on that emotional book bag. And I'm not saying do it in 48 hours, but it needs to be done. You cannot grow if you're constantly having something weigh you down. And it's about accountability, not for the other person, for you. And it begins with you. So if you take one brick, deal with it, it's going to be uncomfortable and might bring out some emotions that you had that you never addressed. But that's fine, because now that you've dealt with it and you've handled it and you've accepted it for what it is, you move on. And there's nothing to speak on because it's already been addressed. I'm not going to keep going back and forth with you about it over and over and over. I'm addressing it, moving on. I'm done. But you have to start letting your no's be no's and your yes be yes. If you don't want to do it, tell them no. That's like when people say, oh, you know, can I borrow $50? And you tell them no. And they want you to explain why you said no. Well, let's see, it's my money. And I said no. I'm not going to bring up that 2 weeks ago you asked me for $50 and didn't pay my ass back. My answer is no. And I don't care if you tell me that you ran out of Pampers. My answer is no. Because people will then give you a situation as to why they need the $50. Doesn't matter why you need it. I told you no. And I'm comfortable when I say no. Now, when you pay me my $50 back, maybe we can have another conversation. But you knew you owed me the $50, so I don't have to address that with you. That's the thing. People already know. And then they want to disguise it, hoping that you forgot or that you're just going to skim over it. So if you don't address it or you continue to skim over it, these are the type of relationships that you're going to continue to have, where you're now allowing other people to dictate how they're going to treat you. Now, let's get into the comments that I received in regards to episode 3 and episode 2. I am not going to disclose the names because I just don't think it's necessary. Someone sent me a message saying, how do they know that I'm not the reason why me and my ex broke up? Simple, because I left him. I made the choice to leave, and I left. He had the same opportunity. So if I was the reason why we didn't work out, he could have left. I was not the source of whether or not this relationship worked or not. At least as an individual, it was something we were doing as a couple. But if I'm not happy or this relationship is just not working for me, I left. So that's how you know I was not the reason why the relationship didn't work. I made a decision and a choice to leave. Another person asked me, was the relationship that I had with my husband a rebound relationship? I don't marry rebounds. As I stated in the episode, there was a different type of love that I received from my husband. Had nothing to do with rebound because I was already in the process of healing myself. So I'm going to rebound from a negative relationship to a positive? Okay, then I'll accept that. Yeah, I rebound. Someone asked, does my friends call me in regards to episodes? because they might know that I'm talking about them. The answer is no. If they're calling me, it's because I hit a nerve. And that means they need to figure out their truth. Has nothing to do with me. Again, another Tia question. How old is Tia? Again, I'm not answering that. He's a grown-ass man. That's how old he is. Someone asked me, how do I feel about my husband? How does my husband feel about the podcast? He doesn't have a problem with it. I think he knows this is something that I need for myself. I am not going to sit up here and divulge every aspect of my marriage because it's not necessary. If a topic presents itself in regards to marriage, I use discretion, but I'm not going to water it down or lie to you just to be able to have something to talk about. That I'm not going to do. So I hope that answers some of the questions and comments that that was sent. You can continue to send comments and send me messages on Instagram. It's transparency_talk. And make sure you follow and subscribe on your streaming network. If it's Apple, you can leave reviews and subscribe as well. Next week's topic is going to be one that will be one that stays with you for a while. I'm getting anxiety already thinking about the topic, but I think it's something that needs to be discussed and given some light on the ideas that come across on this topic. I'm not going to divulge the topic now, but just prepare yourself for it. We will definitely have much dialogue afterwards. I will say that. Again, make sure you subscribe, like, and share. And until next week, take care.